you recall, I had you to focus on the question that Jesus asked Andrew and John at the Andrew and John, and he asked them the question, "What are you seeking?" And remember, we had a discussion about how that question was so striking, and the response that they gave didn't really fit the depth of the question that was asked, right? So now we fast forward a period of time, I don't know exactly how much, and Jesus has gotten word that John the Baptist has been imprisoned, and we know for John that doesn't end well. He ends up being beheaded, and that's a story for another day. But as this marks the point in Scripture and in Jesus' life of his ministry, we know that Jesus' ministry encapsulated a period of approximately 3 years, correct? 3 years. The first year, he was making himself known, and the second year, he became very, very popular. So he drew great crowds, and then the third year, he spent being ridiculed and people just trying to bring him down, and then eventually it led to the cross. So Matthew's account now in how he calls his early disciples is really significant when we see the impact of who Jesus is getting ready to become. And I think that when we focus on this, we shouldn't just focus on the calling of Peter and James and John and Andrew, four great disciples that became really Jesus' inner circle. But the same message applies to you and I today, or to anyone who profess Jesus as our Savior and Lord. You say, well, come on, I'm not in the level of Peter. I'm not in the level of anybody but myself. I'm just a regular person. And that's fair. That's really fair. But if you think about it, who were Peter before this? And John and James and Zebedee? If you were going to go out today and you were going to start a company or something, would you go down to the local lake and see the dude out there fishing and say, hey, follow me? Or would you do some research, maybe call a headhunter and say, I need the best people, where can I go? And then you'd go to the university, or you'd go somewhere with somebody of money. Yeah, well, you'd definitely go find people with money because you needed that to support everything you're going to do. And you would draw all these people together, and you would have meetings and more meetings, and you would benchmark and whatever else to think. But you get the point. Jesus didn't go to the university or the hierarchy of the church. He didn't go knock on the king's door and say, hey, help me out. He went to a fisherman and he told him these words. He said, follow me. Okay, that might be one thing if it's his mom down there and say, follow me, boys, dinner's ready. But that's not what it was. Jesus said, follow me. Now, if you remember last week, the response when Jesus asked them, what are you seeking? If you remember what Andrew and them said at the time, they didn't say, wow, you know, Lord, I've been thinking about this. I've been discerning this. And I've been thinking, wow, I just want the Savior and what the prophets have said to come true. And if you really are who you are, I want to be part of that. No, they said, where are you staying? Remember that? So today, the response was significant. It was like night and day difference, right? Jesus came and he saw Peter and John, Peter out there, and they were fishing, casting their net out. Now, I guarantee you, if Gloria was to go, and Bruce was at his favorite fishing spot, and he was sitting there, and they were biting, and she said, "Come on, Bruce, we got to go. Come on, Bruce, I told you, you know, you said you were only going to fish for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. It's time to go. We got to go to dinner. We were going to meet such and such." And Bruce would say, "Wait a minute, Gloria, they're biting. I can't leave now. You know that. I'm getting ready to get the prize, the trophy one." You see, the point is that they weren't going to leave. And neither was Peter, James, John, and Andrew. Because not only would they wouldn't be leaving at the opportunity of catching the big catch. No, this is their family. This is their lifestyle. This is their security. This is who they are. And Jesus came up and he said, "Yo, follow me." What was their response? Did you pick up on it? You see, Matthew uses a word that Mark uses a lot. He used it twice here. Immediately, they left and followed him. Immediately. So what does immediately mean? Does that, like when Gloria asked Bruce to come home from fishing? If Bruce says, I'll immediately be there. No, with Bruce, that probably means, "I'll be there, honey, when it gets dark and I run out of bait and there's no more fish in the lake." See? That's immediately. So it means eventually he's going to get home. Immediately means now. It means there's urgency in this. So what happened to take these same guys that were kind of stunned before? I don't know what the right word is, but kind of in awe, to all of a sudden take the chance and just go and follow this guy. What is it that calls us, not just James and John and Peter, Andrew, and all the others, Billy Graham, think of them, everybody, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, think of them, all the great ones of the past. What is it that compels them to say, to follow him? So the question is, and what's happening here is Jesus is calling his disciples. You see, the same thing happens to you and to me. We have all been called to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How does the book of Matthew end? How does it end? It starts here with Jesus' ministry and him calling his disciples. But what does he tell his disciples at the very end of Matthew? I'll give you a hint. It's called the Great Commission. And that commission applies not only to his disciples that were there at the time, but it applies to each and every one of you, of us, not just the pastor. It applies especially to you. So what does he call us to do? He says, first of all, it's an action word. It's not go sit on your couch, watch the NASCAR race, and if the winner, driver that wins isn't your favorite, say it was rigged and pout and all that for the rest of your life. Or next Sunday, sit and watch the Super Bowl and say, "Well, I'm only watching it for the commercials because I want to see something interesting." Now, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, he's telling us to go. Go do what?
Make disciples.
So you know. So that's what you do every day, right? You get the point here. So, he's saying that right here. He says, go. He says, follow me. Follow me. And then immediately, they dropped everything. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Yeah, I touched on it briefly. But they left everything. Okay? So in that culture, what happens If he got sick, did they run him down to the local ER or the local urgent care and wait 6-7 hours to get seen? No.
What did they do? They took care of him, right?
What happens if, heaven forbid, one of them were to pass away and they had a wife and kids? What happened to the wife and kids? Did they go down to the local Social Security office and say, okay, I need these benefits and I need to transfer all this over, and you know it's a nightmare to do all that. Is that what they did? No. His brother and his other brother all took them into their family and they took care of them. So that livelihood was gone too. So what also happens when they go out and what was their income? It was their catch, right? And they probably had a decent income. So all of a sudden, you're taking away their income, and they're going to follow this guy to do what? What changed? What changed from when they first met him to then? What changed? What has it taken you and each and every one of us to be obedient to when he calls to immediately not say, well, tomorrow would be better. Next week I'm probably better, but you know, to come to think of it, can we just do this in March? You get the point, right? We don't tend to see the urgency here, do we? We don't tend to see the significance of what it means to follow and be a disciple of Jesus, does it? Dietrich Bonhoeffer talked about discipleship a little bit, and he says, when Jesus called in the beginning of his ministry to repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what he was really saying and telling the people to follow me was to call to absolute discipleship. You know, Chris can attest, the one thing I try to stay away from is using absolutes in my response. I always do this. No, I don't. Or, I never do this. But Jesus here, Bonhoeffer is saying, when Jesus calls us to follow him, it's an absolute. It's not a, you know what I mean? And then he's calling us into a vocation with him. And so we all have vocations. And there's two parts of a vocation. And when the two come together, then we know we're doing God's work. You say, well, gosh, how can a vocation, a welder, or a school teacher, or even a lawyer, heaven forbid, fit into that category? Well, there's two things that it is. It says, part A is, it's that you need most to do, and then part B is that the world needs most. So the place where your deep gladness, and that's what you need to do, and the world's deep hunger meet, when you're in that place, now you have a vocation, now you have a discipleship in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and now you're fulfilling your calling. Does it make sense? I wish I could say I hit that home run every time and I'm right in that intersection. I wish I could say it, but you know what? It's a struggle. It's not easy. I don't care if you're 18, 57, or much older. It doesn't matter. It's not easy. But the rewards are unmatched. So Jesus is calling each and every one of us, regardless of where you're at in time's circle, regardless of where you're at in your walk with him, regardless of where you're at in status in society, he's calling each and every one of us to be his disciples. And by doing that, that means we accept the Great Commission, as Gloria said, That means to go. That doesn't mean just go home now and fix lunch and of course you should do that. Or like me, go and see a play. But it means go, make disciples. Make disciples. And how do we make them? We baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we give them this reminder, Jesus is with you always. And that's an absolute that I can use because he said it, not me. So we know that to be true, correct? So isn't it great to be a disciple? It ain't easy, but it's worth it. Amen.